Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Are you happy now?
About what?
Anything at all.
I'm happy you turned my microphone on for a change.
You Republicans are always so unhappy about it. Oh, wait, I'm a Republican now. Well,
actually, we've been called, in EB's latest missive, we've been called immoral perverts.
Oh, okay. Well, you're the Republican then. I'm not. All right. Welcome on board, everybody. I am Mark Lawrence. Joe McGranahan is with us, and I guess I'll just say On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. We would just love to have you on board. So thank you so much for listening so far today. Well, we do have an email from EB. We got a dozen texts from different people, and we have
quite a few emails that we haven't read.
We have a conversation we promised yesterday. Joe found a clipping yesterday that young people today are now less accepting of the LGBTQ community, whereas in the past, I think we always looked to young people to be the individuals who were the pioneers here, but a little bit of pushback lately, so we'll see what that's all about. So that's on the agenda today. We have open phones. How you doing, brother?
Oh, well, I'm fine, thank you. I'm startled that you asked me.
You're not my brother, I
no,
guess. You
I'm
would
not.
Be my dad, but I have a dad, so.
I could be your grandfather. No, not quite.
No, you could be my dad. I'm almost 60, and you're almost 80, so that makes
76. I would have been a pretty wild 16-year-old.
I'm rounding up. I'm rounding way up.
For 75, and I won't be 76 until mid-July.
Right, I know. On or about the same time as me, as I recall.
Yes.
We would invite...
But you're not going to be that old.
No. No, I'll...
Mentally, perhaps, but physically not.
I have cognitive impairment, in case you haven't noticed.
I thought it was hardened arteries, but go ahead.
Well, I don't know what's causing it. I'm telling you the result. You're talking about the symptoms. So.
Okay.
All right, we would invite folks to call us now. We've had some vibrant discussions here yesterday. We talked about climate change and the environment and carbon sequestration yesterday, church versus state the day before, and one of the topics that did come up was that in the Pittsburgh area, you can take your child to an opportunity to listen to a story hour at a library, and cross-dressers do this almost, I guess, in an organized fashion if you want them to do that, and these drag queens are individuals that, you know, probably pretty flamboyant and show off the fact that men can dress as women and have fun, and it's a gender expression. But I think drag queens are kind of over the top, so I'm not quite sure that it would adhere to all of the things that we might consider sort of normal behavior of a transgender individual. If they are transgender, I don't know.
Taking place in a public library, for heaven's sake.
Well, libraries are for learning, so I think that's an appropriate place. And if you don't want to take your child to that, you know, it's not necessarily.
Well, now
for
there's
everybody.
Another one. Did you see the other one I sent you this morning? There's now drag queen bingo.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a Pennsylvania Fire Company has dropped its controversial drag queen bingo game after one outing, but officials say they aren't bowing to religious pressure. As Trib Live in Pittsburgh reports, the Mount Pleasant Volunteer Fire Department announced it won't host another drag queen bingo, despite the first event raising almost $7,000. The move comes after a group of pastors sent letters to the Mount Pleasant area fire departments warning them about holding such events, but the fire chief tells Trib Live that his company isn't bowing to pressure. Rather, he says drag queen bingo wasn't the draw he thought it was at his Washington County Fire Hall. Mm-hmm. Actually, I know Chief Jerry Lucie is also the mayor out there at Mount Pleasant.
Oh, that's funny.
We didn't have the large crowd, so the event was put on by the Sparkling Queens of Drag, a group that performs across the area. So we have drag queens wanting to read stories in the library and actually talking about grooming the next generation of children. And their stated objective from their website is to indoctrinate children.
Not indoctrinate. That's your word. There's nobody who actually would like anyone to learn anything who actually uses the word indoctrination. That's what everybody else uses. That's what their critics use.
Okay, so. Well, you mentioned the fact that LGBTQ acceptance is slipping among young Americans.
Yeah, jump into that, please.
36% of young people, and this is a survey, by the way, that was released Monday of this week. I was looking to see who did it. The number of Americans 18 to 34 who are comfortable interacting with LGBTQ people slipped from 53% in 2017 to 45% in 2018. The only age group to show a decline, according to the annual Accelerating Acceptance Report, that's down from 63% in 2016. So it's dropped almost 20% in 2 years.
Well, and let's not gloss over what we're talking about here. And this is noteworthy, and I think this is an interesting story. This is about being comfortable with, working with, being around, learning about, being, you know,
well, that's what
gaining
some of the findings
knowledge of.
Are. This, by the way, is a story written by Susan Miller in USA Today yesterday. Driving the delusion of acceptance, are young women whose overall comfort levels plunged from 64% in 2017 to 52% in 2018, says the survey conducted by the Harris Poll on behalf of the LGBTQ advocacy group GLAAD. Among the findings, 36% of young people say they were uncomfortable learning a family member was LGBTQ, compared to 29% in 2017. 34% were uncomfortable learning their doctor was LGBTQ versus 27% a year earlier. 39% were uncomfortable learning their child had a school lesson on LGBTQ history versus 30% in 2017. The shift for the young is surprising, said Sarah Kate Ellis, GLAAD president and CEO. When GLAAD delved into the numbers, the group found that the younger generation was coming in contact with more LGBTQ people, particularly individuals who are non-binary and don't identify simply as lesbian or gay. So apparently familiarity breeds dislike?
Well, I guess a little discomfort, or maybe it isn't familiarity. Maybe they're not familiar with, maybe there's a little bit less learning going on about this, less comfortable with. That's a pretty pivotal thing, so I think that's noteworthy. Would you suppose that in any way the president's conservatism trickles down to young people? Does that generally
really
happen?
I don't think so, because
no.
young
okay.
people
that's
are not
a no.
typically Trump
okay.
supporters. It's older people who tend to support the president.
Right, but I think if the country is getting a little more conservative. The president had the majority of the people vote for him, so he became president.
He didn't have the majority of the people vote for him, as they will quite point out to you. He did not win the popular vote. He won the Electoral College.
All right. Thank you.
Well, that's what people on your side are always reminding me of. The president didn't win the election.
All right. Well, I don't have a side. Okay. I'm just me. I have valid, uninformed, worthless opinions, and I don't really, no one is on my side, I assure you. But anyway, the overwhelming majority of the people didn't vote for the president. But guess what? It was sufficient to make him the president. So now we have an ultra-conservative president, very assertive and outspoken and a train wreck of a human, but still conservative would be how you'd label his politics. So the country starts to follow, or maybe the country was already, well, I guess the president was in and then this stat was drawn. Maybe the president or maybe some young people look up to him and say, okay, well, conservative values are the way to go. You know,
well, isn't
so, I'm just asking. It's more of a question
than
a statement.
Isn't it possible that some of the young people are finding the increasing flamboyance of that lifestyle and the increasing visibility of it a little startling? Maybe that's not what they expected. You know, in principle, I say to you and you say to me, live and let live. We don't care. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you have to deal with it on a day-in, day-out basis, or you see it more frequently and it becomes somewhat, I won't say abhorrent because that's the wrong word, it becomes concerning to you that this is not necessarily the lifestyle I want to be around or I want my family to be around.
My lovely bride text says maybe it's because it's not that easy. It's very complicated to understand all the gender, sexuality, expression, and other terms of which there are now hundreds.
Well, that could be too. It was simpler in my day. There were men and women.
And then you could be gay or straight.
Gay or straight, man or woman. Four
and
choices.
Then, so then transgender is an add-on. And
fluidity. I like the gender fluid people that apparently change on a daily basis or can change on a daily basis.
Or non-binary. So, all right. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
What is exactly is non-binary? I don't identify
well,
as
binary
anything.
Is just you're either man or woman or
right.
not. And if you're non-binary, you think, well, I don't quite fit. You know, my expression of me doesn't quite fit either of those.
But expression
I don't
be hanged,
be...
you are one thing or the other. Genetically.
Well, yeah, if you look under the hood, you can find parts that...
Well, not even going that far. Let's go deeper. Genetically. It doesn't matter. I mean, there are genetics that say you're either a man or a woman.
As I've said in the past, you find Ford parts in a Ford and girl parts on a girl. So
I don't recall you ever saying that before.
I don't think I've said it on the radio. All right. 1-800-795-9565 is the open phone. We're talking about a new survey that says, not by an overwhelming majority, but certainly a change in the trend that young people are a little bit less
20%
comfortable.
20% in 2 years.
Right. So that's
pretty big.
A big change. Okay. A big change. That's fine. I will stipulate that. A big change over the past 2 years in terms of young people, I believe 18 to 34, saying they're just a little bit less comfortable than they used to be with LGBT community.
More than a little bit uncomfortable.
Okay. All right. Gotcha. My lovely bride speculates that perhaps it relates to
well, she has a point.
Complications.
I mean, it is complicated.
All right.
But also, I think it has to do with the fact that when you see something and you're working with it up close, because it talked about 36% of young people say they were uncomfortable learning a family member was LGBTQ, and the number of people who found just the overall dealing with them on a daily basis as somewhat unsettling or shocking. I don't know whether it's that word or whether it's, you know, but there's got to be some reason why something you accepted before you now find less acceptable.
1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number that Lance dialed. Good morning, sir. You're on the mark.
Okay. Well, what Joe was talking about there is exactly what I was wanted to talk about, and that is the flamboyancy with which it is expressed just in the last several years. I mean, they hit you right over the head with it. It's kind of like, hunting, for instance. There are folks that don't mind the hunting as long as they don't see dead deer piled on top of an SUV. And then they start to get apoplectic about it.
Well,
it's the same analogy. It sounds kind of strange at first, but that's really the truth.
Well, I think one of the things that makes people kind of really out there in terms of, like, if they're transgender or maybe gay and they want something done, because there's civil rights at hand here, so people, you have to fight for your civil rights at times. So maybe that might be one reason why I think people are kind of really radically out there explaining what, you know, how they feel about their gender or sexuality or whatever, because maybe something's, you know, maybe they need something that isn't available to them that everybody else is permitted to do, you know, like an opportunity or a job or whatever it happens to be. So that's why I think some people are kind of out there, but there could be. I don't know for sure.
Take Pride Month, for example. You know, they certainly, LGBTQ people take a lot of pride in that event, and they sponsor it, and they hold them all over the country. Some of them are rather flamboyant. I mean, I've seen pictures of the coverage of the Pride Day in Harrisburg, and some of the photos I find somewhat jarring, and I'm sure other people might, too.
What do you find jarring? Boys in hot pants?
Well, no, I mean, it's
prancing
just...
Prancing down the street?
The only thing I guess... Well, I don't like to use that word because that's stereotypical, prancing. But I think it's some of the costumes, some of the behavior is over the top compared to what I, as a heterosexual human being, find normal.
As an old Republican, I think, is what we're searching for. But anyway, Lance, go ahead. An additional remark, Lance, if you have one.
Well,
I got you on the prancing.
For instance,
huh?
Those guys with the dog collars.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a little bit over the top.
Like an S&M kind of thing? Dominance?
Yeah. yeah.
All right. Noted. Thank you so much,
Well,
Lance.
That's a whole other school. Okay. LGBTQ people are not necessarily into domination.
No, I wouldn't think so.
B&D is another issue entirely.
B&D?
Bondage and discipline.
Oh, I see. I didn't even know it had an acronym. So you got to pay attention to these Republicans. They know everything.
Yeah, well.
And you don't like it either, do you?
One of our writers says, acceptance is not a choice anymore. You are forced to accept alternative lifestyles. It is in your face everywhere. You are also told at most workplaces you will accept or you're let go. You are shamed if you don't accept. What happened to being able to state that you don't agree as long as you're not hurtful? I think he hits a point there that a lot of people feel. It's a, okay, I believe in live and let live. I don't care what you do, but don't force me to say I have to support it or I have to accept it. You know, I'll let you go. Go your own way. But why do I have to endorse what you're doing?
All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We can explore this topic for a short time. I'm not sure it has legs to go for too long, but if you'd like to call in, feel free to do so.
Would you go to a drag queen bingo game, by the way?
Well, I don't really play bingo, but my lovely bride likes to play bingo. Maybe she would. All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We would just love to hear from you today on this topic. This all started, young people less accepting today of, less comfortable with the LGBTQ community, and some of it 20% shift from 2017 to 2018, so that's remarkable. News Radio 1070 WKOK, very proud to announce that On the Mark will continue in the year ahead, and we want to let you know that the Sunbury Motor Company is going to be there the whole time. Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, Routes 11 and 15, Hummelsworth is where you find the Kia dealership. You can always get tons of information at sunburymotors.com. All right, so you don't know what they are? Well, I'll tell you what. They are hundreds of pre-owned vehicles, all of which you can check out on the web ahead of time at sunburymotors.com or just go down to the lot and check them out. Fabulous vehicles, very low miles, and they've been through a 200-point check. And guess what? If they fail that check, they sell it at auction, and it pops out at another used car lot around here. Only the perfect vehicles are for sale at the Sunbury Motor Company. And if it's not a pre-owned vehicle, guess what? They got brand new Ford, Hyundai, Kia, or Lincoln. And even after all that, if you can't find what you need, you can build a Ford car, a Hyundai, Kia, or Lincoln to your precise specifications at sunburymotors.com. We will take a quickie break. We will be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
This is good music, baby. Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Cindy's been kind enough to wait through the break, so we appreciate that. Thank you, Cindy. You're on the mark.
I wanted to correct a misconception that's frequently stated on the radio when this discussion occurs, which is that you're either male or you're female. You're born that way. And science will tell you that's not necessarily... Well, it is the case. There are people, we used to describe them medically as hermaphrodites, now they're called intersexed people, who have either both sets of genitalia or could have none or have pieces of both groups. So it's not true, and that's genetic, by the way, it's a genetic anomaly. That is not true that you are either assigned male or female. And interestingly, now, science has identified about 65,000 species that can change their gender. For example, clownfish, if there's no dominant fish present, will change their gender to fill in the gap. So It's not true, Joe, that you're either male or female assigned that at birth.
But
now, there was a time when people were born.
Small. The percentage is astronomically small, isn't it?
Well, that doesn't mean there's none.
No, but, there's
where, but it means
you
our
know,
statement.
Don't make these broad generalizations when they're not true. And imagine how, if you were one of these people, how you'd feel about being summarily dismissed.
It's not
you
dismissing.
Know, it used to be that medical science would assign a sex to these children on birth. They would do surgical changes and maybe hormonal interventions to assign them a specific gender. And the problem was that maybe they picked the wrong one, and the person felt differently than as a human being, right? Differently than the external assignment they were allotted. And that's a real problem. You know, that's a real mistake.
Right.
Some people criticize any intervention at all. So I think we should be really careful about making broad generalizations. You know, there's a lot of nature is far more diverse and squishy than we would like to think.
So if it's 1% of the population is born with some intersex characteristic in some way, then in
it's
our...
It's less than that, isn't it? It's more like 0.4%, if my memory serves me.
Okay, well, okay.
Geez, so Joe, if you knew this, then why were you making that misstatement?
It wasn't a misstatement. It was
yes,
just
it was.
In general...
Yes, it was. You said
general.
You're either born a male or a female. You said that. We could roll back
all
the
right.
tape.
Let me add the words, overwhelmingly, you were born either a male or a female.
What percentage is it, Joe?
The last I heard was 0.4%.
Well, what does that matter?
Well, it doesn't. I'm just telling you that it's infinitesimally small compared to the overall population of the world. And what we're talking about here is people who make the decision for themselves after the fact. You're talking about people who have no choice, but there are other people who make this decision for themselves, and presumably they do have a decision to make about what they are and how they express what they are.
That means
but how do we know, Joe? Perhaps I certainly don't. Perhaps you've been given some special sight. How do you know that they aren't reconciling with what they were always meant to be?
Oh, I fully concede maybe they are.
So maybe we shouldn't be so critical of them. Maybe they've struggled against a tide all their lives and finally have the courage to be who in their hearts, in their souls, in their psyche, in their DNA.
That's their choice.
They really are.
It's their choice, but they may well have been born the opposite of what they want to be.
If Joe is right, and it's 0.04%, and we always use for our market region around here the four contiguous counties plus the contiguous counties, that's 120,000 people. That's 48 people in our area have some intersex capabilities. And according to our ratings, 8 of them are probably listening. Okay? So, Joe, I don't think it's such an infinitesimally small number.
We should be mindful. And I don't understand. When I hear people discuss this, they they seem to take umbrage with these with people expressing who they think they are. And it goes back to what I always talk about in terms of my belief in freedom. It's my loss to understand in their umbrage how it hurts them. If I chose to wear green shirts every day, but this bothered you, Joe, how does that hurt you? Like, why should you take exception to that? Why isn't it on
like
the list of really none of your business?
Okay, well, let's
just
look
let
at,
it go.
Joe doesn't like the green expression.
Let me look at it analytically.
Okay,
What started this discussion was the fact that a library is having drag queens come in to read stories to children, and the stories they're reading to children, by their own definition, are to provide more than positive role models on the LGBTQ issue, but actually some form of indoctrination.
All right, Cindy, quick last word on this. Go right ahead.
That's what's
I guess, Joe, you take great exception to the Disney movies Nemo and Finding Dory because they're both about clownfish and
no,
clownfish.
There's a way to present it and a way to to shock people with it, and I think that's the distinction.
Van, you have a couple of moments before the top of the hour. Go right ahead.
All right, the thing Cindy brings up is the extreme. It's very rare that you have these hermaphrodites, but normally with a hermaphrodite, you'll either have female reproductive organs like ovaries, or you'll have testicles that are male, even though you have genitalia there that's for both sexes. So it's arguing from the point of the extreme, like many did with abortion, for rape being the reason for abortion, and arguing from that viewpoint. But the thing of it is, there's these people that are born that aren't hermaphrodites, it's definitely male or female, and they want to identify as something other than that. And the thing, like you said yesterday, Mark, is that it's not a matter of sexuality, it's a matter of gender identification, but the fact of the matter is that it is a mental illness, and it should be identified as such, and it was in the past, and it still is by a lot of high-ranking doctors, the guy from John Hopkins, for example, still identifies it as that. But what's happened now, this perversion is being normalized and being promoted and shoved down our throats that we should accept this, and anyone who speaks against it as being immoral and is demonized as a bigot and a hate monger. And then they're told to shut up as these people parade in the streets what they call Pride Month, when God says about it's an abomination, and God gave an example of Sodom and Gomorrah, where he turned those cities into ash by raining down fire and brimstone upon them, and it's an example of God's eternal judgments that's going to come against this type of sin.
All right. Just about out of time. All right. Thank you so much, Ben.
Didn't finish. You're welcome to call back in the next segment.
Absolutely. Appreciate it. Thank you. The moral minority is welcome on this show as well, so call us immediately if you wish.
Well, maybe wait till after the news is over.
Well, no. Get in line. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number, and that's the toll-free line for On the Mark. We'll continue during the 9 a.m. hour. We'll have headlines. And I forgot to tell you, we have a new star on board. Mr. Matt Catrillo is our producer. This is WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, Rob Center has the day off. He took the day off because he got to attend the Chicago concert with our sister station 94KX last night. So he gets the day off today. And he was part of a staff presence that was there. And Sean Carey was there. And let's see, Tom and Laura and maybe some other folks. But they had a blast last night at the Chicago concert out at Spyglass Ridge Winery. So everybody had some fun. But that left an opening for Matt Catrillo to be our producer, so we appreciate him stepping in. He's on the other side of the glass taking good care of us. If you'd like to talk about our topic today, which is that young people stay less accepting of LGBTQ community, feel free to call us 1-800-795-9565. We have one email related to this topic, and you're welcome to telephone us. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. You're welcome throughout our program at any time to email us at onthemark@wkok.com. And you can text us at 70236. That's the Text Connect system. You can sign up at wkok.com. Join the thousands of people who are enjoying Text Connect messages. We send breaking news stories, big local stories, big national stories out via Text Connect. Closed roads, nasty weather on the way, weather warnings go out via Text Connect. I believe we sent out a Text Connect message last night that was all about the fact that the Montandon Elementary School was going to be closed. So that was something that we kind of set out there and told the people we wanted you to know about this. So that was sent out via Text Connect last night. So that is what that's all about. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Text us at 70236 or email us at onthemark@wkok.com. Two members of the Valley's U.S. congressional delegation voted no on the Democratic plan to aid migrant families on the nation's southern border. U.S. Congressman Fred Keller and U.S. Congressman Dan Muser voted no on the bill that did eventually pass 230 to 195 along party lines. The $4.5 billion emergency border aid package is funding to care for thousands of migrant families and unaccompanied children detained after crossing the U.S.-Mexico border. The Republican-controlled Senate is working a comparable bill that has more funding for border security included. Congressman Fred Keller will be on WKOK's On the Mark program Friday at 8:30 a.m. We may ask him about this. We'll talk about general topics. It'll be his first On the Mark appearance as a U.S. congressman already sworn in, so we appreciate that. Montandon Elementary School will be closing at the end of June. Milton Area School Board came to their decision during Tuesday night's meeting following a vote of 7-2. The students will attend Baucher Elementary School starting in August. Board President David Ettinger tells WKOK what factored into the decision to close the school.
I think the board has talked about it for years. I think this year we had hired an architect to look at buildings. We also looked at our numbers because of declining enrollment in Milton. And I think that was some of the leading causes. Perhaps we can do some combinations and save some dollars and not impact education at all.
District Superintendent Dr. Kathy Keegan.
I think starting in February, we had our first meeting that we presented data to the board because they asked for consideration of what the future of Montana would look like based on enrollment, faculty, all those factors. And then we continued moving through the required Pennsylvania School Code process through the public hearing and giving the community the opportunity to speak.
And Mike Medley's one of the parents in the district.
It's not just about the money, because money in education, I would absolutely weigh myself on education over saving, you know, a couple thousand dollars. The community, the safety, it's just disheartening, these decisions that are made for these children of our future and our community.
The move will transition approximately 130 students and six faculty members from Montandon Elementary to Baucher Elementary. Pennsylvania's Auditor General Eugene DePasquale telling fellow Democrats he's going to run for U.S. Congress in a Harrisburg area district that's currently Republican. Two Democratic Party figures say DePasquale told them and others he's planning to announce his candidacy sometime after Monday. Pennsylvania's House of Representatives, with the help of yes votes from our area state House representatives, is advancing a just-unveiled $34 billion compromise. Democrats got rebuked yesterday from the Speaker of the House because they kept bringing up the minimum wage increase after being told that it was a dead issue. The budget ended up passing Tuesday 140-62. State Senate and the governor say they're going to give it thumbs up as well. Our proposal to allow local police to use radar by catching speeding motorists, or in order to catch speeding motorists, is on its way to the State House. After nearly unanimous approval in the Senate, senators voted 49-1 Tuesday for a bill that local departments have long sought. Current Pennsylvania law lets only state police use radar, while local police must use other methods to figure out how fast people are driving. A similar measure passed in the State Senate during the last session, but died in the House. If the proposals enacted, local governments would have to post signs warning motorists that they are using radar. You see that. Used to see that. Is that a law for state police? The radar enforced has to be part of this?
Used to be, but it isn't anymore.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah, that's true. Used to see a lot of those signs. Why do they have to do that?
Well, because it's part of this mentality that Pennsylvania's municipal police and municipal governments are somehow inferior and base and venal. You know, that we wouldn't handle this properly unless we were legislated into obedience.
Okay. I didn't quite read that into it. I just see the sign that says radar enforced, but Joe sees a lot more there.
Well, I mean, to me, it's insulting that we've had to wait this long. And the House the last time was, of course, the bane of this whole process. So hopefully they won't be this time around. But 49-1 in the Senate is a pretty clear indication the time has come to give municipal police radar.
Well, and the House is Republican also, so
and is the governor. It's not a partisan issue. It's not a partisan issue.
Okay, so it's just people are, there's actual issues that other people have with it, maybe misuse or something like
that,
or accident.
The last time, the prime sponsor was a Democratic senator, Randy Balakovich, who was a former police officer. municipal police officer, I might add.
Okay. So 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number, and we are enjoying open phones. We're talking about, we're probably near the end of this particular conversation, but we do have an email, and we do have a call, and we just had a call on the line from the man I refer to as the moral minority, talking about staunch conservative biblical Christendom looks down on individuals who identify themselves in the LGBT community. So we'd love more calls on this. 1-800-795-9565. Joe, the email, and then
right.
The caller.
EB says, and we didn't get to his other email, but this one says, this is a newer one. Someone needs to tell Lance that there's nothing to fear from the LGBT community. It's full of loving, caring people. The real threat is the crazy, flamboyant conservatives who want to indoctrinate our children with racist, homophobic ideals. I'd rather march in a pride parade than a Trump rally.
Yeah, tell me this. So your staunch conservatism and Catholicism, why is what you're doing not indoctrination of young people? If you're concerned about a drag queen doing it, why am I not concerned about your religious zealots?
Well, because it's done inside my church by people who choose to belong. If I go to the library for a story hour and I find my children being subjected to drag queens, that's an entirely different thing.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about this staunch advocacy and opposition to drag queens in the library.
It's out of place. I don't think a story time for children should be a time to indoctrinate them into anything. Imagine the outroar if, let's say, they were going to have a Pope as Superman reading at that library. The people who aren't Catholic would say, what are they doing indoctrinating our children into Catholicism?
Is the Pope Superman? Well, the current one is pretty close, so I'll have to give you that. Cindy, you are on the mark. Thank you so much for calling in.
Joe, did you realize the current Secretary of Health in Pennsylvania is a man dressed as a woman?
Yes, I'm aware of that.
I see. Okay. Do you feel indoctrinated, Joe?
No, I he's more than welcome to be whatever he wants to be or she wants
she,
to be.
She.
Agreed. It's a she. Hey, listen, I was really sad to hear that Deepa Squally wants to go to the feds. I was hoping he'd run for governor.
Goodbye,
he had my
Jean.
Vote in a heartbeat for
I
being
think
the governor.
He'd have a lot of people's vote. He's a good man.
Forget
his party.
He is a good man.
Forget
this would
party.
Be another loss to our Commonwealth, to the abyss. I would just be such a shame. Darn, I am really sorry to hear that.
Well,
maybe he may not win.
He's running against an incumbent Republican.
Well, and maybe he's using this as a stepping stone to the governorship.
I think he could step right out of the Auditor General into the governorship
hesitation. You're right. He's already won statewide election twice, so people around the state know his name.
Who's gone?
Right, and he's been so effective as Auditor General. He's cut his department by $2 million of expense within months of appearing there. The man knows what he's doing. He's been aggressive and frankly unyielding in going after incompetence at all levels of government. Speaking of which, there in that sign thing is another big waste of money. It's just ridiculous. It's like Rendell's 1 million mile buckle up seat signs they had sticking up all over the state that he wasted taxpayer dollars to do. I mean, it's just ridiculous to make them put up a sign that we're enforcing we're enforcing this law here. If you get speed, we're going to catch you. You know, that's just ridiculous. Let's put signs across the border then.
Yeah.
In every language you can imagine. By the way, we're going to enforce our immigration laws.
Going back to your original comment, everyone I know who has worked with Gene DePasquale has nothing but good things to say about him.
Let's just stipulate he's
including
he's
Fred Keller, who says he's a good man. And he is. He works across the aisle. He doesn't care what party you are. He tries to do the right thing.
Yes, I was hoping that he would run for governor because he's about to lose his. He can't be the. He can't up again. He's run. His terms have expired. He has to run for something else, and he'd win governor hands down. What a mistake! Oh darn. Anyway, thank you, gentlemen.
Well, look at the bright side. He'll flip that district to Democrat, then he'll run for governor, and that'll clear the way for a Democrat to win down there.
From the House of Representatives, he's gonna. No, if he goes to the feds, that's his. Vision, his staircase to heaven.
Oh, maybe he wants to be president.
Leave us in his taillight.
Maybe
right?
we're thinking small. Maybe he'd be a good president.
Maybe he wants to run for senator against Toomey.
or against Casey.
I doubt
there'd
that he'd run against Casey.
A major improvement if we could swap out Casey.
Yeah, I don't think you can get Casey
out
of office.
An enormous improvement.
I don't think you can get Casey out of office, though, unfortunately.
Okay. Thank you anyway.
Yeah, thank you so much for calling in. We have open phones, 1-800-795-9565. One of the smartest listeners in the world came up with some new wisdom, which I agree with.
E.B. again, he says, I don't think conservatives should be allowed to read to children at libraries.
I don't think conservatives should be allowed to read to children in libraries. Yeah, if you don't want drag queens, we don't want conservatives, we don't want anybody who's going to indoctrinate children into your way of thinking.
Well, then I would guess we don't want liberals reading at libraries either, right?
Really? So there'd just be nonpartisan.
Why not just have people reading stories to children? You read at story times all the time. I always see a picture of Mark Lawrence surrounded by little children, which frankly scares the you-know-what out of me.
Why?
I don't know, just because I know you so well.
So but, I act out the books a
little. But seriously,
bit.
I mean, you're very entertaining for the kids, but you're not trying to advance an agenda. You're trying to read them a fun book and have some fun with them and show them an adult role model that they can look up to and be proud of.
But I always, I make sure that I read The Lorax and say The Lorax is actually President Trump.
Yeah, right. I'm sure you do. The evil man is President
right.
Trump. Okay.
And
well,
sometimes the kids get it. All right, 1-800-795-9565. That wraps up this particular segment where we've been talking about the transgender or LGBT community, slightly less accepted under most measurements, but could be
a major drop in young people only. It doesn't say that young. It's the only group in which the acceptance has dropped
from 1 year to another. I'm not sure. You know, sure
it's
that
over
that's
a 2 year
statistically
period. Mark,
significant.
Pay attention to the story. It was over a 2 year period.
17 to 18, well, 2 years total, but the survey's taken in 17 and then again in 18. It's a 1 year change.
It dropped from 64% in 2017 to 52% in 2018.
All right, that's 1 year change.
But there was another one here.
You can't add the years together.
No, there were two more years. There was one statistic.
All right,
that had
well,
to do
you get your lies straight and I'll take a quick break. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. 1-800-795-9565.
I'm not going to let you read to children anymore.
When we come back, we're going to sift through some of these emails. People have been so kind as to send them, and we're going to make Joe read them when we come back. Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark.
Did you want me to sing so you had a little bumper?
Bumper
music?
Me? No, I forgot to push the button. So
forgot to push the button.
Sorry.
Sign of age.
Is it? Yeah, I have cognitive impairment, have I told you? Oh,
right.
Isn't that funny? I move the mouse, and guess what it reveals?
It reveals
a caller.
A caller, right. Are you going to that first, or are we going, you told me to read the email?
Well, let's see.
Make
what
up
Lance,
your mind.
Let's see what Lance has to say. I'm in
all
charge
right.
here.
Lance, you got another minute. Go ahead.
Okay. My last call there, somebody took it the wrong way. I was not describing myself the way I felt about the LGBT community at all. I can be best described as a very strong pro-life libertarian. How they got that out of it, I don't know. Maybe I was coming across that way, but I certainly did not mean to.
Okay,
fair enough.
Noted. Thank you so much.
I didn't get that.
I just have a couple seconds.
Seconds describes it, yep.
Seconds.
On your news, they talked about a little child that had tragically drowned in a home swimming pool. You realize how bad that is? I mean, nationwide, it's about 570 average die in home swimming pools every year. That corresponds with one tethered guns at about an average of 85 with a high of about 115. So they're like five times more deadly than people who leave their guns laying around.
Okay. Thank you, Lance.
Well, they leave their pools laying around all the time, so there's ample opportunity.
They're required to be fenced, though, in most municipalities.
Well, kids know how to get through the fence or climb over the fence.
Dave on the Hill says, as I understand the story, there is no one that can verify whether... Yes, this is about the young lady, well, she's not so young anymore, who claims she was raped in Bergdorf Goodman's by President Trump in, what, was 1990? Was that it? 20?
In the 90s.
In the 90s,
I don't
okay.
remember the exact year.
Dave on the Hill says, as I understand the story, there's no one that can verify whether the woman or Trump were in the store on the day in question. This is a high-end store, so I imagine clerks are right there on hand to assist the customers, unlike Walmart or the old Bon Ton, where you would wander for days looking for a clerk. Dave on the Hill makes an excellent point. You know, he claims it was in a dressing room, and you mean there wasn't a clerk standing outside? And if unless... he gagged her, which she doesn't claim. She could have easily screamed out, help, I'm being raped by this insane real estate developer.
All right, well, we'll stipulate you're right in the facts that it never happened. How about that? Are you happy now?
Well, now, you have a rather bizarre interview this woman gave to Anderson Cooper.
Yeah, the woman that is doing this accusation was just on Anderson Cooper, and somebody pulled out a clip of it and posted on YouTube, and afterward, we put it on Facebook, people said, she's cray-cray, all right? She's crazy, because this is an aspect. He's talking about the fact that she writes as a victim, and then she says, in one sense, I'm not a victim. But listen to what she says after that.
Victim.
You don't feel like a victim.
I was not thrown on the ground and ravished. Which, the word rape carries so many sexual connotations. This was not sexual. It hurt.
Well, I think most people think of rape it is a violent assault. It is not.
I think most people think of rape as being sexy.
Let's take a short break.
Think of the fantasies.
You notice how Anderson Cooper went.
Quick break. If you can stick around, we'll talk more on the other side.
You're fascinating to talk to.
You understand how fast Anderson Cooper wanted to get her off the air.
You're fascinating to talk to. Yeah, let's talk about my rape. Oh, you, what
but, you know, people like E.B. who believe everything that comes out against the president, every single allegation, well, you know, no question at all. She must be telling the truth because she's saying something against the president. Now, where was the other email that of his? It says, what a week. This is also from EB. What a week. First, Trump is accused of raping a woman following more than a dozen previous accusations of sexual assault and one from his ex-wife, Ivanka, many years ago, or Ivana. Then GOP Representative Duncan Hunter, a family values advocate who opposes same-sex unions because he thinks it degrades the sanctity of marriage, was accused of using campaign funds to pay for, you guessed it, extramarital affairs. Then we learned that Pennsylvania GOP Chair Val DiGiorgio sent sexually charged messages and a photo of his private parts to a Philadelphia council candidate. Why, it's almost as if Republicans are a bunch of immoral perverts. Oh, wait, they are. And, of course, no one in the Democratic Party. I mean, Bill Clinton just pure as the driven snow. We don't hear anything about him here and what a disgrace he was.
So if the Democrats are bad, too, it's okay that Republicans are immoral perverts? Is that what you're saying? As the Democrats are also.
Do you remember a woman named Fannie Fox and a certain prominent Democratic congressman who were flouting around in the tidal basin? A few years back?
Vaguely, yeah.
I mean, there have been plenty of Democratic sex scandals, and if you wanted to just say, well, it proves the Democrats are immoral people, that's no more fair than saying the Republicans are because of the misdeeds of a couple of people.
Republicans have most of the moral scandals.
No.
Plus,
it used to be the Republicans had money scandals, the Democrats had sex scandals.
Well, it's flipped around now. Now it's the Republicans. Plus, Republicans flout themselves as the moral majority, and they're somehow the upstanding, respectful party.
Well, EB's
right. Dems that have lowered all our standards.
I do agree with EB with respect to if you're going to tout family values, you shouldn't be using your campaign funds to support your extra marital affairs. It certainly sends the wrong message to people.
All right. We got a lot going on here.
Feel free
to give us a buzz if you'd like to weigh in on our important topics. We have the woman who accused the president of rape, saying that rape is sexy, but this particular assault on her was violent.
No, she doesn't say that. She said it hurt, but I don't think she meant from the standpoint of physical pain. I thought she was speaking emotional pain there.
Oh, okay.
Did I hear that wrong?
Regardless, but then she also squeezes in the fact that she finds Mr. Anderson Cooper fascinating, which so
I
do
think
I.
She was making a play for
I think
him.
She's a little flirtatious. All right, she's going for it. All right, 1-800-795-9565. I will take a quickie break, and we'll give you a chance to call us on any of the topics we discussed. We will be talking about the church and state again.
Something new has come up.
Right. We talked about Montoursville, where they were rebuked for having a school-sponsored prayer for illegally allowing coaches to participate in it. That's where the law was is broken. Not just the students can pray all day long if they wish to, I suppose, but faculty is not allowed to participate. So therein lies the law violation. And we had some other church-state topics pop up. Well, there's something new, a pushback against Satan in a community. So we're going to talk about that shortly. But any topic, the president or the rape accusation or anything else you'd like to discuss, feel free to give us a buzz. 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We talked about church and state, and we've
with respect
also,
to Montoursville, right?
Right, and other communities. Well, there's a story that came out of Alaska, right? Isn't that where it is?
Right. One of our listeners sent us the story. It's from Soldotna, Alaska. A satanic temple member who won the right to open a regional Alaska government meeting declared "Hail Satan" during her first invocation, prompting about a dozen officials and attendees to walk out. Tuesday's invocation that started the meeting of the Kenai Peninsula Borough also spurred a protest outside the Southern Alaska Borough's administration building that drew 40 people. The Peninsula Clarion newspaper reported protesters held signs saying "Reject Satan and his works" and "No Jesus and his love." During her invocation, Satanic Temple member Iris Fontana said, "That which will not bend must break, and that which can be destroyed by truth should never be spared as demise. It is done. Hail Satan." Kenai radio station KSRM reported she was among the plaintiffs in a lawsuit litigated by the ACLU of Alaska against the borough after it approved a 2016 policy saying that people who wanted to give invocations at the government body's meetings had to belong to official organizations with an established presence on the Kenai Peninsula, which lies about 75 miles south of Anchorage. Other plaintiffs who had been denied permission to give invocations included an atheist and a Jewish woman. The Alaska Supreme Court last October ruled that the borough policy was unconstitutional, and the borough government changed it in November to allow anyone to offer invocations regardless of religion. So that's what you get. Is there, you know, I understand how people would be upset
that's what
by
you get, another faith.
But it is free speech, you know, and mm-hmm. I would be hypocritical if I said they shouldn't have their right to give an invocation, too. Hail Satan, I find a bit over the top, and I think I'd get up and leave as well, but I certainly would give her the right to say it.
Well,
wouldn't you?
I guess turnabout is fair play in this particular case. See, this is what happens. You wonder, why shouldn't you allow anybody to do the invocation? And we're probably going to get the same thing at the state senate or the state house. They open up with invocations. You go to a lot of borough council meetings around here. They either have a moment of silence, or in Northumberland, it's a Christian prayer offered by the mayor.
But the thing is, who's harmed? She said, "Hail
anybody.
Satan." I'm not going to say, "Oh, that woman said hail Satan, so I'm going to renounce Christianity and become a Satanist." No,
but
it doesn't work that way.
But I don't think you should use the harm standard as whether you should do things legally or not. I think there's no place for religion in a government entity. If you want to pray for God's guidance as you do for
so you would throw
anything,
her out. You would throw her out.
I would throw out all prayer at any public meeting at all whatsoever. It just doesn't belong there. The government is a separate entity. Your religion is a separate entity. Now, each individual may have a faith, and they're welcome to pray silently or out loud before the meeting. But once the meeting, it's time for the meeting, religion just doesn't have a place.
Well, you said
in
something
it.
I think you probably will want to modify upon reflection. You said religion has no place at a public meeting. I think you probably meant to say a governmental meeting.
At a public meeting. Well, either way. I guess
so I have a public meeting of the Sunbury Rotary Club, for example. We open it up and we want to offer a prayer. You don't think it belongs there?
If you're, that's up to you. Yeah, that's not really a public meeting.
Well, if we have a public meeting, then it is.
Okay.
You know, you went governmental. Admit
okay,
it. You meant
yeah,
governmental and
I
you
would
didn't
think
say
so.
It.
Yeah, yeah. Public entities like governments, municipalities, and councils. A lot of them do it around here, and you really should not because it imposes your Christian faith on other people. But
well, what about
I think you're using the harm
on me?
I think you're using the harm standard. So what harm does it do if somebody prays, you know, to Jesus in the meeting
or to Satan?
I don't think it fails that. I don't think anybody say, okay, well, I'm Jewish, but you know, if you want to pray to Jesus, I'm somehow harmed. It's just exclusive. If you want to be inclusive,
let me take issue with you on that topic. Don't I learn something by hearing how someone else prays or how they worship?
Oh, it's definitely educational. No argument there. Yeah.
There is no harm in that, is there?
No, but, okay, so let's suppose education is your goal. You're going to a government meeting. We're going to Shamokin Dam Borough Council. Joe thinks education is important, so he has an invocation that is Christian-based at the meeting.
We do not, by the way.
Okay, thank you. Bad example then, but let's go to Northumberland, where they do have a Christian invocation at the beginning of the meeting. And Joe says, well, we should be allowed to do it. It's educational. All right. Well, so if education is your goal, if governance is not your goal, but education is your goal, you should have a quick math lesson, too, or a quick grammar lesson.
I may have used educational, but perhaps I should have used the words you so often use, tolerance, acceptance, and love, and peace. Don't we all learn from hearing someone else's prayer?
Okay.
But aren't we all benefited in some way by hearing someone else offering their take on invocations?
So it's informational, and you'll know more about the world if you listen to this prayer. That's very true. But why should the borough of Shamokin Dam impose this on people?
Okay,
yeah.
Why
don't you impose your religious views on people?
Well, we just never have started our meetings with a prayer.
Okay.
We start with the Pledge of Allegiance. It is a governmental meeting. It's not a religious organization. It's a governmental organization.
What do you say?
However,
under God?
I belong, as you know, I'm on the executive board of the State Mayors Association. We do begin our meetings with both the Pledge of Allegiance and a prayer. And I have often been asked to offer that prayer, and I'm happy to do so. But I try to keep it non-denominational as much as I can. Except that, you know, if there's someone there who doesn't believe in God, they're going to find it offensive because I happen to believe in God, and I my prayers address that fact.
Well, what's that TV show, One Each One Preach
You've taught
One?
Don McNeil, Each in His Own Words, Each in His Own Way.
Right. I like that. That would even cover atheists, right, to a certain extent?
Yeah, it would. And you know, I can understand the Christian people being upset about someone getting up and saying, Hail Satan, but if you're going to have everybody have a right to express their religious views at these meetings and everyone have a right to give the invocation, then you're going to have to accept the fact that you might not like some of the prayers. But it's a small price to pay in return for you being allowed to say what you want to say. I mean, you can't say, I want to say this, but I don't want to give anybody else the right to say that.
So be educational. You learn about the satanic faith that this
particular
individual
has. Well, I'm not certain I understand. Do you understand what she meant when she said, that which will not bend must break, and that which can be destroyed by truth should never be spared as demise? I have no idea what that means.
No. But that's, you know, well, it's like...
It is done. Hail Satan.
There might be some phrases in the Bible you could read me, and I'd be like, I don't get that one. We don't use that one. On Sunday, that phrase. So.
Well, I understand how the people there are upset, but I think free speech is free speech, and if they're going to let one in, you have to let them all in. You're saying don't let anybody in.
Right. It's a government meeting. Do governance. That's all. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We'd love to hear from you. 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. If you'd like to weigh in, we're going to take another quick break, but if you would like to weigh in on the topics we've discussed, we talked about, we had sort of an anti-President Trump message from EB, our good letter writer, so we appreciate that, pointing out the very clear Republican immorality majority that rules. President Trump's the accuser, again, as one of our listeners said, she's cray-cray if she thinks rape is in any way sexy. LGBTQ acceptance is on the decline among young people, significantly so in some of the various age brackets over the two-year period that Joe accurately pointed out that I didn't quite hear. And we had the drag queens at the library hour talked about. So, open phones, 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemarketwkok.com. And most recently, we're talking about religion at public meeting. It does not belong there. Say me, Joe says, what does it harm?
Say, let them all in. That's what I say.
Okay, so you're going to get the satanic prayer at your meeting then, you know.
We'll have to accept that.
So be it. All right, we'll be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Are you okay, buddy?
Nothing new. The only person I know would use that example, but go ahead. All right. Welcome back to On the Mark. I'm Joe McGranahan. Mark Lawrence, our strikingly handsome host, is going to talk to us about something.
Most recently, we talked about religion at public meetings. That prompted a call from Frank. Good morning, sir. Thanks for calling in. Very glad to hear from you again. You're on the mark.
Yeah. I remember the Old Testament story, Book of Daniel. And Daniel would pray openly in a visual point in his face. You know, he was a ruler. He was appointed a great responsibility in the old Babylonian world. And King Nebuchadnezzar did declare a decree that no one was to bow down except to him, made the statue, and then there was this showdown of, you know, the associates to Daniel, his friends. They didn't bow down, they were thrown in the fire. So, I think God kind of pays back that kind of arrogance. I found it interesting that I was subjected to one of those moments in where I was leading out in prayer, and there were people who were offended and said, you can't pray because there's Muslims here, and they don't accept your doctrine. And I found them, these individuals, saying that you have to have a prayer that is universal. Not you have to have like a generic prayer to acknowledge that there is a God. And I was interested in the comment, yes, if you look at your coin, you were making the point, Joe, about in God we trust and so on. But I absolutely do believe in separation of church and state, and my faith or Christian faith should not be the leading rule of the prayer and allegiance. And when I see that there is government programs or meetings open in prayer. I knew a guy who was scolded and lost his job for opening prayer at Geisinger because he was a Christian, because there were other people who did not believe as he did. And so, you know, there is that one thing that I believe is very clear. We have the right to believe, or we don't choose to believe. It's in the Constitution. So I don't believe that prayer should be part of the governmental opening programs. And I do think you can quietly meditate your thought, and but I do absolutely believe in the separation of church and state. So that's my thought.
All right. Okay. Thank you. One of our letter writers agrees entirely. The top one, please.
Says amen to Mark's comments, the irony of prayer at government meetings.
To get that amen to my church
amen
and state comment.
Right, I do.
Anyway.
This is a government-sanctioned radio station. We can't have that.
We need our license.
The irony of prayer at government meetings is that it falls on so many deaf ears. Look at the corruption, the outsized self-service, the theft of public dollars, and the destruction of public trust by so many public officials. Matthew 22:21. Jesus said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. Romans 13:1.
Right. So do your Caesar stuff while you're in the government service. Do that. And then do your God stuff on your own.
Can you steal from Caesar?
Keep them separate. But on the other hand, there was a time when public employees were paid less, and some of them did that as, you know, they worked very hard at it. And so, and at least one individual, I shouldn't say some, said it was part of their religious faith to make sure that they were raising up and helping the community in any way they could, even though the pay might not have been what it was. Now, some of the salaries are a little bit more reasonable these days.
I think the real question here is, if you were asked to make a choice between allowing everyone to deliver an invocation, even those whose religious thoughts you don't care for,
mm-hmm.
And that would include your own that some others might not care for, but that was your right. Or would you rather have no one be allowed to do it at all?
Well, the right thing is no one, but some people have chosen anyone, and therein lies your satanic prayer.
I think if you're going to allow it, you have to let it open to all comers, whether you like what they're going to say or not.
Right, because government meetings are really there for education and information.
What is the purpose of an invocation at a governmental meeting? It would hopefully be to invoke whatever power you pray to offer guidance and support to those who are entrusted with making the right decisions for the community or for the governmental body.
Right.
So that should be the theme of any invocation offered. Mm-hmm. You know, dear whatever, we ask your guidance, be it divine or non-divine, or universal in nature, to help these people make the right decisions and not run our community into the ground.
mean, which they will do,
but
given sufficient leeway.
That's the crux of what an invocation ought to be at a governmental meeting. To the extent that they say things like, that which will not bend must break, and that which can be destroyed by truth should never be spared as demise, that doesn't strike me as a typical or useful invocation.
No, it doesn't help. But, you get what you get. If you open it to prayer, that's what you get. Van, thank you so much for calling back. Recalls get 1 minute, so you got a minute on the radio. Go right ahead.
Boy, Joe, you are absolutely right. And Ben Franklin, when they had the Constitutional Convention, this is a quote from him. He said, "I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men." And he went on to say about the Bible, says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." And he said, "I firmly believe this, and I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel." And then he wrapped it up with, he said, "I therefore beg leave to move that henceforth prayers imploring the assistance of heaven and its blessing on our deliberations be held in this assembly every morning before we proceed to business, and that one or more of the clergy of this city be requested to officiate in that service." And what it was a humbling themselves before God. And if you want to read the whole speech that Benjamin Franklin gave, you can look it up online really easy. But the overall context is, no matter how smart men are, we need the divine protection and intervention and help from an almighty God. And that's why this country exists today. And when we turn from God, as we are now, God's going to take his blessing off this country.
To unbless us because we're taking prayer out of meetings.
No, because you're taking God out of meetings. That's the thing. People say that you don't want religion in meetings. No, the bottom line is they don't want the God of the Bible, the God that Benjamin Franklin was referring to about the sacred writings, that God that gave us the Bible, his holy word. And that's the God that people don't want in the public forum. They have no trouble with a Satanist or whatever other religion, but they do not want the God of the Bible, the God that says he will judge the world for their sin.
All right.
That's the God they don't want. The Lord Jesus Christ and his that's the God.
All right. Gotcha. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
Appreciate the call. Thanks for being
a good one.
You too.
A good listener.
On the issue of LGBTQ
acceptance for young people, less accepting of young people, right. Young people today, less accepting of LGBT communities. One of our listeners says it's real for his family.
William says, "My son is a middle school student who has been harassed daily at school by classmates because he is LGBTQ. He has been verbally and physically assaulted at school by 6 to 10 classmates for 2 years because he does not fit their idea of masculinity. These MAGA hat-wearing boys are threatened by my kid's love of Broadway musicals and reading books. At his school, the students are definitely not accepting of LGBTQ classmates." And I'm assuming that he's speaking metaphorically when he says MAGA hat-wearing boys, because I suspect he believes anybody who doesn't support LGBTQ issues is some far right-wing nut.
He's a Trumper.
A Trumpite. You know, so I'd be a little careful with that one, but the sad fact is, if the school has allowed this to go on for 2 years and hasn't stopped it, and William hasn't demanded that they stop it, that there's something wrong. No kid should be harassed for what they are or what they believe. Well, I think we would agree on that. Can
yep,
we agree
absolutely.
On that? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's hard. The districts do a lot, but they can't be with every student every minute. And some of the comments and things are just slipped into conversation or sort of not, it's not a blatant thing. They didn't stand as a gang in the hall while everybody's changing classes and stand there as a gauntlet and make individual young kids that are gay go through them and fight their way through, but they offer a snide remark before or after or when they're walking the track or the football game or, you know, when they're in a class and there is some limited amount of student discussion permitted.
Well, first of all,
so I think that's it's hard for the district to regulate every minute of every day.
I don't believe, just as I don't believe MAGA hat-wearing boys are always going to be the ones who are victim, you know, creating these assaults or problems, I don't believe that any child's love of Broadway musicals or reading books necessarily is his part of being an LGBTQ person. I liked Broadway plays when I was a kid, and I love reading books, still do.
Are you questioning?
No, I think that I don't think that anyone owns those two things. The real issue here is if his son is expressing himself in a way that his classmates find unacceptable, someone needs to deal with that. And if that unacceptance leads to physical violence or taunts and threats, the school needs to deal with that.
It used to be a little tiny computer you could wear that had a camera on it, and it would take a still picture, no audio, take a still picture about every couple minutes or so, and then you would look at it. It was really when a lot of online high-tech stuff was becoming more popular. I wonder if you could catch the bullying on that if you wore this device. I forget the name of it. What was it called? The Snapshot or something like that. You would wear it, and it was obvious that you had something pinned, but it was very small, like the
sort
side.
Of like a police camera,
yeah,
a body
like
camera?
One, yeah, it was like, but very small, 1 inch by 1 inch or so.
And it only took stills.
It took a still picture every couple minutes. Oh, I forget the name of it. But anyway, it sort of showed how you waste your day. You know, you wonder where'd the day go. You would look at these images and you could find that, although somebody could easily argue looking at such images is a waste of time anyway.
Right.
But in any event, maybe that kind of a thing could help. All right. So let's see. Tomorrow we have Dr. Jennifer Rager Kay comes in here. She gets a call-in opportunity.
She's not coming in. She's calling in.
She's calling in. Dr. Rager Kay has agreed to call the show tomorrow.
She is, of course, the Democratic candidate for the 85th
I'm getting
District
to that.
House seat.
And we did enjoy.
I'm trying to help you out.
A comparable call from
her opponent.
Who is?
Mr. Rao.
Rowe. David Rowe from East Buffalo Township called right after his selection as the candidate. So he's already been on. Now she'll be on. Both are invited to call or appear on either Sunrise or On the Mark in the months ahead. I hope they'll choose On the Mark. And then we've invited them both to appear in August together. And she has accepted, and he has not yet accepted. So,
but he hasn't declined.
Nope, not yet.
Okay.
He will. Why would he do that? Why go looking for trouble, as they say? And let's see, what is...
Well, because I think
Fridays.
Everybody has a right to know where the candidates stand, and certainly a joint appearance by them. Under tightly controlled, I think the chamber's format in the, I won't call it debate, but the candidates form between Fred Keller and Mr. Friedenberg was a great example of how that kind of thing can be handled
right.
Fairly and equitably to both candidates.
And how extreme rigidity can prevent open and free expression of ideas.
And they had such a wonderful moderator of that debate, too.
Handsome?
Yes, bald, but handsome.
Bald, okay. All right, noted. Thank you so much, Joe. We'll see you tomorrow, Dr. K tomorrow, and U.S. Congressman Fred Keller on Friday. This is News Radio 1070 WDK, OK, Sunbury.